Micheál Martin joins me by phone. Micheál, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Are you aware of what was discussed at Cabinet or what the HSE recommended at this point in time?
Well, yeah. I mean, yesterday we met with the Taoiseach and the Minister for Health, along with the other party leaders, the Chief Medical Officer, the head of the HSE. And I think I have to say, the first instance, that much of what was announced by Boris Johnson last night is already in place in Ireland. I mean, essentially, restaurants are closed, Neil. Cafes are closed. Most hairdressers are closed. Most of our cities are like ghost towns now. Many offices are working remote. I think the big issue is the one you outlined at the beginning there, the public gatherings in places like Fountainstown and resorts and so on. That has to be curtailed, and certainly I think there will be measures brought in today that will restrict such public gatherings and also allow the Gardaí, you know, to police that and to make sure we don't have a repeat of what we had on Sunday and at the weekend.
But you're not privy to the plan at this point in time, though, are you?
Not the specific detail of it in terms of what will be announced, but I think, to be fair, the question I asked yesterday, for example, defined lockdown, and no one has a definition of lockdown. It means different things to different countries. In Italy, they're asking the question, what is there left to lock down or to close? In Ireland, I think we were ahead of the UK substantially. I think what Boris Johnson...
passed us out now, though.
Maybe not. It's the detail that counts. Boris Johnson changed the tone, which was needed in Britain. I mean, Britain was going along as normal, whereas our pubs are closed for quite some time. Our schools have been closed for quite some time. Restaurants are closed. Cafes are closed. I think the net point then is, what area of manufacturing do you keep going? I think you need to keep your pharmaceutical going. You need to keep your medical device manufacturing going. You need to keep food production going in some areas, maybe not in all areas. That's an issue. The Health and Safety Authority has to move into certain workplaces to make sure that physical distancing is happening and that proper hygiene is applied. And if it's not, then that raises really questions about their continued operation. So I think the key one at the moment is public gatherings, and I think that will happen today. I think formally there may be an announcement around restaurants, but essentially, as you and I know, restaurants have de facto closed. Retail has de facto closed down, bar groceries and pharmacies. The big issue then in the immediate term, do you restrict everybody to their homes, as Boris announced last night?
He hasn't, because he says travel for essential work where work can't be done from home, and the tubes are jammed with people again this morning.
See, that's my point. I mean, there was an announcement. I think the tone changed in Britain, but when I said to you there, read between the lines and the detail is what matters. In Ireland, where we are down to a narrow number of areas that are still operating. Manufacturing is still operating. Construction is still operating. And obviously, vital services are operating. I think everything else de facto has closed down. I mean, if you walk through our city streets, they're effectively empty. Our public transport has been significant reductions in the numbers on buses and trains. They've plummeted. So a lot of that has happened in a voluntary manner.
The public are taking the lead on that. But like, for instance, you're saying we need to step up our game, whereas Mary Lou McDonald is saying we should have a complete lockdown, which means that only essential services should go to work.
She's not saying that, actually, because, I mean, we were at the leaders' meeting yesterday and Mary Lou said to me that she didn't believe in a lockdown in terms of...
She called for a lockdown yesterday after the scenes of people out and about at the weekend.
I think she called for non-essential services to be closed, which is fair enough. Although, again, we need to define what's essential and what's non-essential. And I think the detail does matter here. And I think anything we do should be thought through and the consequences seen. I think what's also extremely important is that we prioritise healthcare staff in terms of testing, in terms of personal protective equipment and clothing, because there are concerns around that. And I think we have to protect our over 65s and those with underlying conditions.
You may not be aware of this, but I've spoken to Home Helps over the past few days, and one yesterday morning told me she got no gloves and no sanitizers from the department or from those that manage her work. She got a pair of gloves from a painter and decorator.
I am aware of that, and we've been raising that consistently with the government and with the HSE around home care and around the absence of personal protective clothing for people who are caring in nursing home environments and also in terms of home care in particular, and also people with who are compromised, whose immune systems are compromised. Now, what the HSE is saying...
Do you think it should have happened by now?
It should, but there's a huge. But to be fair, and keep the amount that has been purchased is way, way above anything that was done in any previous years. And there's big orders coming in, and we're being told by the HSE that they'll be in this week on a rolling basis from here on. I mean, you're looking from going from 15 million to about 200 to 300 million of a difference in terms of what's going to be purchased, what's being secured, according to HSE. And I've no reason to doubt that. But there are issues around PPE, as it's called, personal protective equipment and clothing, and that's something that is ongoing. And there is major supplies being sought and procured from China, for example.
I would have thought it would have been a priority going into the homes of the elderly and the immunocompromised. Can I just ask you about the elephant in the room here? Apple's 13 or 14 billion. I was just working out yesterday. If that money was spent, drawn down and used, it would pay full wages for everybody in the country for almost 4 years. Well over 1,000 working days would be paid by the Apple debt alone. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, look, that money isn't available. I mean, it's popular to talk like that, but it's just not available. But either way, the amount of money that's been paid to workers will increase and will have to increase, and we've called for that. You might have seen Michael McGrath and Robert Troy out on that at the weekend, that I think there will be proposals announced. They'll be passed in the Dáil.
Why isn't it available, Micheál? Could they just not withdraw their legal...
Apple could. Apple have a legal action in relation to it. But the money's been spent, Neil, you know. I mean, we will go into a big deficit as a result of this as a country. The European Central Bank ultimately will have to underpin the measures that independent national governments are taking across the Eurozone. Where billions will be spent on, I think, up to 70 or 80% of a person's income will be remunerated. I think it's very, very important that that happens.
How much?
I think anything up to 75% of a person's income could be remunerated as a result of the measures that will be announced.
And when will that be?
That will be announced in the next today, I'd say, but will be enacted in the Dáil. But I don't have the specific figure, and there'll be a threshold above which it won't go.
I understand the threshold. It could be 30 or 35 grand or something like that.
But the whole idea is to keep the person connected to the enterprise, because there's lots of businesses that have had to shut who are viable, who actually in ordinary times would be flying.
So the government will pay the wages. We don't know how much, and we're not sure of when. And will it include self-employed and those in the gig economy?
Yes, and it'll be announced this week, and it'll be done with a view to being implemented very, very quickly. That was discussed yesterday at the leaders' meeting. All leaders are anxious that would happen. It's happening in Denmark, it's happening in other countries. And the key being that this is a good way of ensuring that we can pump prime the economy when COVID-19 passes its worst point, and that we can restart the hairdressers, restart the restaurants, pubs, and various other services, the whole hospitality sector that's had to close overnight almost because of this. And also then, I think cash flow supports and low-interest loans, zero-interest loans for small enterprises to enable them to restart and to get going again in the aftermath of this. Because it's not, you know, these are viable businesses that were working, that were doing well, but through no fault of their own, this virus has caused them to close very, very quickly.
Okay, but what of our hospitals then? Certainly with regards to ICU beds, you spent many years, you were a Minister of Health, I know it was different times then, but are they capable of handling the storm that's coming, honestly?
Well, I think there's been huge work done. I've been in touch with all the medics in Cork, quite a number of the medical community who are on the front line in CUH, in the Mercy, the Bonds, and elsewhere. And they're working together. They've come up with very innovative approaches. They've expanded their capacity in terms of ICU beds. They've organised more or less which hospital will be doing what in terms of the pressures coming on them in terms of COVID-19. And I think they've been working very hard to get prepared for what is expected to be an increase in patients who will be attending both the hospital and also the ICU section of the hospital. And I know there are plans to decant outpatients, for example, from the CUH, and also oncology patients who may be going for regular chemotherapy, that there would be in other locations. So there's a lot of contingency planning, to be fair, a lot of work done. And I think, you know, obviously no hospital system could cope with what you know, Italy has coped with, for example, or tried to cope with. But hopefully we can avoid that. And hopefully the measures that have been taken by the public in recent times, and you know, in terms of the people not going to restaurants and all of that, and the pubs closing, schools closing, will help in that regard. Testing is very important in the community.
Because we're 10 days behind the accurate figure, really, when you look at the wait for a test and then the wait for the results. Yeah.
I agree with you, and that's something I've been pressing very strongly for, is a higher volume of testing, contact tracing. That is happening, but it needs to happen at a quicker rate, and I think we need to use labs in the private sector, for example, and other people are making offers in that regard. So it has been ramped up very quickly, but it is very important in terms of getting a proper picture in terms of what's likely to happen. So that work is continuing. I also think that we should have more transparency around where clusters emerge, be it in specific locations or in specific institutions, because I do believe that would alert people more and would enable people to take greater protections and precautions if they knew that there was a particular cluster in an area close to them or an institution close to them.
There would be essential services that would be very vast and wide, of course. It would be the pharmaceutical industry. It would be those that are working in the production of food and getting the food. It would be trucks and Arctics. It would be people who went out delivering, picking up the bins, stuff like that, and all sorts of issues like that. But everybody else then would at some stage be expected not to go to work, full stop. If they can't go to work, then the government will pay them. Yeah, that's the deal, isn't it?
Well, that seems to be, more or less what's happening. And I think you've summed up well there in terms of differentiating between essential and non-essential. I do believe, obviously, pharmaceutical and medical devices have to keep going.
Because the public are ready now, aren't they, in fairness? We're primed and ready and just expecting the announcement. But you're saying it will fall short of a complete lockdown. And that ramping up of restrictions, is that because of the carry-on on Sunday, for instance?
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly why I think people didn't anticipate that. And I think that has to stop, because that is dangerous and that will facilitate the transmission of COVID-19 to have those large gatherings. That has to stop, and measures have to be taken to prevent that from happening again. And I think you said yourself, you know, that the tubes are still full, notwithstanding Boris saying stay at home. Whatever is announced has to have credibility and has to be followed through and has to work. You know, the idea that you stay at home and just do one jog a day, you know, that's the policing of that now, in my view, is something that I would question. On the other hand, I do accept that he had to do something to change the tone of what was going on in the UK, because it was so far behind other countries in terms of basic activity and human behaviour. So Britain really has come very late to this approach. And I think it's because already the signs are there in terms of some of our hospitals that they're coming under pressure because of the increase in cases.
But we're not expecting an announcement today of gatherings of two or more people in public not allowed, police, the Gardaí, like in the UK, the police have powers to fine and disperse gatherings. We're not that yet.
Well, we have powers already. I mean, last Thursday, the Dáil would have given powers to the Gardaí and given powers to public health officials to prevent large gatherings and to detain people who might be at risk to the public. So there are very significant powers already have been given now to public health officials. And I think there will be a strong move to prevent large public gatherings of the kind that happened at the weekend, and to ensure and enforce more sensible behaviour in the public streets and in the public domain. That is.
But how would that happen? Is that the Gardaí, the army, or whom?
Well, I think the Gardaí are in the first case, and the public health officials will concentrate on the health side, but the Gardaí will take their advice from public health officials. But I think there has been such a reaction to what happened that I think we will see changes in that regard, and I think people will change behaviour as well, because I think we also have to say we can highlight those cases, but the vast majority of people actually are adhering to the public health measures. And from my observations, older people in particular have self-cocooned already and have been ahead of any measures announced, because they are staying at home in many instances. And many of them are asking their sons and daughters to stay back and to keep a distance.
We
and
do, I think We did a poll, a Red FM poll in the last 24 hours. It just closed. It ran from 11 a.m. yesterday morning to now on Facebook and on Twitter. And the question we asked was, do you think Ireland should have a similar lockdown measure to countries such as Italy and Spain to manage the spread of coronavirus? People were asked to vote either the yes or no. The results from a combination of Twitter and Facebook showed that 23,700 people responded. And those that said yes were 87.85%. So that's 88% of the 23,700 said yes, we should have a total lockdown like Italy. What do you think of that?
Well, I think I understand it fully, and I think we have a virtual lockdown in Ireland to a certain extent. To a large extent. The issue remains, do we keep people in their homes everywhere?
But I can go to a park, I can go to work, I can go to the shop.
I think if you go on your own to a park, that's okay. It's the physical distancing is the key. I mean, the chief medical officer told us yesterday that most cases actually are got in family homes. So it's 10 people gathering at a park is the problem. 5 people gathering together, that's the problem. And having those large crowds, you know, in Glendalough and in Fountainstown, that's wrong. That's what has to stop. And that is, yeah, that's my version of a lockdown. Stop that from happening. And I agree with that 100%. And that's what to me a lockdown should be, around public gatherings. And people get, you okay. know, you don't need large queues outside Chippers, for example. That's not non-essential. That's dangerous. And I think that's what will happen. I think we know on our streets, I went through Cork City on Saturday, it was empty. Every shop was closed, bar the market.
And do you accept that some of those will never open again? So regardless of cheap loans, they won't ever be able to open again?
Well, I think some will. I'm not sure about that. And I think those that were viable will. Some were struggling, perhaps, and this could be the final straw for them.
Yeah.
But I would hope, and I do get that, but I would hope that the vast majority will reopen with supports and with the public, because I think there will be a lot of pent-up demand in the aftermath of this. And I think I think there is an opportunity to re-kick and restart the economy after COVID-19 passes and goes over the peak, because I think, you know, people will want to support those businesses and will want to try and get the economy back up and running again. It's a different type of crisis to previous ones. It's unprecedented, and it will demand a Marshall Plan type approach in its aftermath, which will have to be backed up not just by national governments but by the European Union, by the European Central Bank in particular, and that's going to be essential to underpin any economic recovery.
I know I keep going on about the Apple money, but that money would solve all of our problems and we get out the other side of that if they just got their act together and took it. It's not as if Apple don't want to give it, but anyway, that's not for today or tomorrow. Do you think, with regards to formation of a government now, this is not a time to change government. Would you agree with that? Would you say they're doing a good job?
Yeah, I mean, we're working with the government on this, and I think there have been some talks, but all the focus has been on COVID-19 right now, and has been for the last number of weeks, and will be for the next number of weeks.
So let it alone. Let them get on with the job they're doing.
Well, I think at some stage we're going to need a government to do other things because of the economy and because of the impact, and big decisions will have to be taken, and that will require a new government that can be decisive and that will have a majority in the Dáil to make the kind of decisions that will be required. That will have to happen at some stage, but in the meantime, I think the HSE, the chief medical officer and his team, all hands on deck in terms of making sure that our health service is prioritised, and that's where I would have a lot of focus right now. We have to prioritise our healthcare staff in terms of testing, rapid testing, in terms of childcare provision for them, in terms of, because 1 in 4, Neil, of our healthcare staff are in the, of those who've got COVID,
that's right,
1 in 4
the healthcare workers.
That worries me, because that weakens our frontline response to COVID-19.
So are we expecting healthcare provisions then for healthcare workers today? Will that be announced?
Well, I've called for, in particular, the prioritisation of healthcare staff in terms of both the protective equipment side, but also in terms of rapid testing, and prioritise them first in terms of testing. And I think you will see more of that.
And are we also going to expect an extension of the school closures today beyond the 29th of March?
Whether that's announced today or not, I think it's already been more or less announced. They will stay closed after the 29th of March.
For how long?
For a considerable time.
You think they might ever get back before the summer, or will we have leaving cert or junior cert?
I can't say that, but I think it's, April, certainly. We're not going to be over this in April, put it that way to you. And then you're into May.
Okay. So the message then is engage in the public distancing requirements, because it's the public that make all the difference. Pat Phelan said yesterday, it was a fantastic line, he said, act as if you have it.
Yeah, because the issue, you might have it and you can weather it, but it's the person you might pass it on to may not be in a position to weather it, be it an elderly person, be it a person with an underlying condition, be it a person whose immune system is compromised. That's why you have to behave responsibly and sensibly to protect others. You know, it's not just about yourself. It's about protecting other people. Don't put yourself into a position where you might be passing it on to somebody else who may not be able to get through it. And that's the key issue. So there's a lot of individual personal responsibility here on all of us in terms of how we behave.
Interesting questions here before I let you go. I know you won't get to answer all of them. Can you ask why the NCT is still operating, workers getting in and out of cars? I'm not happy with that. Ask Micheál Martin why construction sites are still open. And I know the construction industry has asked to be allowed to stay open. What about delivery drivers? We are scared to death bringing anything home to our family. What about bin men? This would be considered essential. Yes, it would. My mum has an HSE home help calling every day and she's not supplied with masks. My mum has gloves for her to wear, and that's a HSE worker. Ask Micheál about the people going to work and still have to come home to their elderly patients living with them. And are you in favour of giving all hospital staff, nurses and porters a bonus for the work they're doing? That's just a selection of questions. The home help one's a big issue, but I think you're aware of that.
Oh, absolutely, and I've been pushing very strongly on it. The home help one is the one that hasn't been given, I think, the priority that it should have been.
Okay.
And it needs to. And I think on the NCT, yeah, we've made this point yesterday. All the regulations, you saw where the over 70s don't have to, you know, where you might need a medical GP note or whatever to apply for a renewal of a license. All that should be pushed to one side, is being pushed to one side. And we've asked for all those regulations to be waived for the duration of COVID-19.
Okay.
Because we need to be practical and particularly avoid people having to go to GPs for routine form filling and all of that.
But it's vital that home helps now get gloves and sanitizers,
yes,
and also the gowns that they need. All of them. That's so
absolutely
important.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's, we've been told by the CEO of the HSE that the orders are coming in, that they've got secured supplies from China in particular, and up to anything up to 200 million will be spent in the coming weeks on that.
You don't think it's too late, no?
We have to keep
never
going, Neil. You know, yeah. I mean, ordinarily, you'd spend 15 million a year on that type of thing in Ireland. Already, I think you're up to 100 million.
Okay, listen, thank you for taking the call. We'll wait for whatever official announcement comes this afternoon, but appreciate you taking some time out this morning. Micheál Martin.
You're very welcome.
Take care of yourself. Leader of Fianna Fáil. Lines open at 1-850-104-106. Just back to one of the points I made from that Red FM poll that ran for 24 hours on Facebook and Twitter. People were just asked a yes or a no question. Do you think Ireland should have a similar lockdown to Italy? Yes or no? 23,700 people voted. 88% of them voted yes, that we should have a similar lockdown now to the likes of Italy and Spain, and 12% said no. Back after the break. The Neil Prendeville.